This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
For over 45 years, people have relied on Village Green Apothecary to give them individualized nutrition, pharmacy, and healthy living products. Village Green will give you the kind of person-to-person help and attention that mass-market pharmacies have long ago forgotten. You can depend on us for knowledge, experience, product selection, and a smile. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com. We're here to help you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for tuning in every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. It's always a lot of fun to bring you guys the latest and greatest related to health and wellness. Today is absolutely no exception. We're going to be talking about a topic that we've discussed on the show before, but one that continues to just push to the forefront, in my opinion, of some of the most exciting research going on in the natural health industry and really in the health industry as a whole. And it has to do with probiotics, and not just probiotics. It has to do with something that we refer to as the microbiome of our body. The microbiome of our body is this colony of bacteria, and there's also viruses and other organisms that inhabit our system and that we are dependent upon for health. And the diversity and what the makeup of that microbiome becomes in a body, we're learning has a huge influence on how our body expresses its health. It's really very, very interesting. And today we're going to be talking with an industry leader on the microbiome, and we're going to be talking about probiotics, and we're going to be discussing not just lifestyle and dietary aspects on how to improve the health of your microbiome or improve the diversity or improve the composure of your microbiome to improve your health, but we're going to be talking about some research pretty exciting on actual probiotics. And that is, you know, what we've always looked towards in the health, natural health industry to affect the microbiome is, well, let's take a probiotic, let's take a supplement that contains these good bacteria. The reality is there's so many different probiotics out there on the market, and there are so many different strains. And the reality is that not all the strains have been very well clinically studied to show that they actually do anything or affect health in a positive way. So I really feel that as we learn more about the microbiome and as we learn more about how to use probiotics to help our body express better health, we're going to be really favoring the strains and the probiotics that have very good clinical research. And some of them do. And those are the ones that I really encourage people, patients, other people that read my blogs to seek out, are ones that there's been clinical trials on that we know how they affect humans. So just to give a basic idea, the microbiome seems to be affecting our ability to express our genetics in a way. We call it epigenetics, where the genetics of our body are somewhat predetermined and set. It's almost like when you buy a computer, your computer has a certain type of hard drive and a certain type of processing chip and a certain type of monitor and keyboard. And those are the hardware portions of the computer. It's set and it's predetermined. What's different, you could have three computers that are built the exact same way, similar genetics, but the software program that you run on the computer will make each computer operate incredibly differently. And that's what we think about relating to epigenetics, the way our genetics are expressed. And what we're learning about the microbiome and what we're learning about many aspects, the most exciting aspects of health and exciting therapies on the horizon, have to do with affecting how our epigenetics are expressed, how our genetics, how our body reads our own DNA and expresses it. Because we know that our body can turn on and turn off certain parts of our DNA code. And that variation plays a huge role in the expression of our health. So we're going to bring in Dr. Mitt Messer here to discuss this with us. She joined NBTY in 2012 as the Director of Nutrition Research. In this position, she provides strategic scientific leadership for innovation and new product development, improving existing products, and ensuring the scientific integrity of all brands and products. Dr. Mitt Messer completed a PhD in nutritional biochemistry from the University of Nebraska and a master's degree from the University of Nebraska Medical Center. She brings numerous years of industry experience and is an adjunct professor in the Department of Family Medicine at Stony Brook University. She is published in many peer-reviewed journals and is a contributing author for book chapters relating to nutrition in adult and pediatric populations. Dr. McMesser serves on the editorial board of four peer-reviewed journals, Advanced Journal of Food Science and Technology, Journal of Pediatric Intensive Care, World Journal of Clinical Pediatrics, and Journal of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Dr. McMesser is also an active member of the American Society of Nutrition, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, and the New York Academy of Sciences. She serves on the Senior Scientific Advisory Council for the Council for Responsible Nutrition. Susan's passion for wellness includes participating in short and middle distance triathlons and getting her young children to eat more fruits and vegetables. Always a challenge for all of us parents. Dr. McMesser, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
Sure. So, I mean, I sort of leaded off talking a little bit about the microbiome, but I didn't want to get too into it without having you weigh in. So, you know, I mean, I guess we could start off by sort of asking the question, what are probiotics? What do they do? And have that segue into this idea and all this exciting research showing what the expression of the microbiome is having to do with health and the expression of human health.
Yeah, well, that's a great question. So I'm first going to start out with what is actually defined as a probiotic. And the World Health Organization has actually defined probiotics as live organisms that administered when in an adequate amount confer a health benefit on the host. And in this instance, the host obviously is the human. Probiotics can include bacteria derived from human microflora. They can be derived from foods. And they conferring that health benefit means basically that it's supporting health or wellness by balancing the microflora and contributing to its functions in some way, shape, or form. But overall, from the microbiome, I think you did a great intro in setting that up, that there are so many factors that we're still learning, that the data is still emerging, that we're really trying to understand what and how everything is influenced and how it interacts with each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think we haven't quite figured out therapeutically what to do with it and to turn it into a health treatment, but we're seeing these really amazing trends in different aspects of the microbiome and the expression of health, you know. And I mean, I've seen these wild studies where they've taken humans who are overweight and have type 2 diabetes and then thin people, and they do this crazy process where they actually do like a fecal transplantation and implant the microbiome from the healthy thin people into the obese diabetic people. And without really changing many other factors, the overweight people start to lose weight. Simply seems to be just by changing the flora in the gut. How is that possible?
Yeah, so I think that's actually one of my favorite studies from 2013. I reference that one all the time. I think it's great. So we don't really know how that's possible. I mean, we know some of the mechanisms, but there are so many mechanisms going on that we're still investigating that. You know, the probiotics can influence the immune system in a number of different ways, and we can't underestimate how much of the immune system is in the gut. So, you know, it's been stated that 70% of immune cells are in the gut-associated lymph system. So if that's the case, there is no denying that gut health and immune health go hand in hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one example simply of how things can interact and how the gut may actually be influencing beyond. We need to start thinking of the gut's impact beyond just digestive health.
Yeah, and I think that is what we're starting to understand. And now we're also looking at this idea of there are so many things that we do that provide early insults to sort of this process that was designed to establish this microflora. With the advancement of medicine and things that have become very necessary tools, but there seems to be a downside as well. For example, we know that even necessary and well-prescribed antibiotic usage for an infection can change the microflora of the gut in a not-so-great way for quite a long period of time. Isn't that true?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And, you know, when you take an antibiotic, it's intended to wipe out certain pathogenic bacteria, but inevitably it wipes out some good bacteria too. And it's that balance that we need to maintain for a proper immune function and overall health and wellness. And so you need to make sure you replenish that balance somehow, some way, shape, or form. You know, I don't want to discount foods that are in lifestyle that can affect our microbiome too. So, you know, in the instance that you don't eat a lot of fermented foods like kefir or sauerkraut or kimchi for that matter, then you need to think about what can you do to replenish that balance when you do take an antibiotic, because you do need to make sure that you have that proper balance.
Yeah, I mean, antibiotics are obviously a very necessary and important therapy. And, you know, but there are many other, if that was the only insult that people came across, it would be very different. There's also been some correlation with C-section rates, and when the baby is in a natural delivery, as the baby comes down the birth canal, it has a sterile GI system because it hasn't eaten anything while it's in the womb, right? It's just been swallowing amniotic fluid, sort of getting the GI system ready to start trying to digest what should be breast milk. And as the baby comes down the vaginal canal, they get exposed to the same bacteria that are located in the digestive system, because that's what inhabits the vaginal area. And so that's sort of nature's way of starting off the process correctly. When you do a C-section, you sort of bypass that, and the baby will still establish a microflora. But when they've looked at microflora, it tends to not be the type of bacteria that's associated with cultures or places that have better, more robust health. And there was some studies that were correlating some aspects of being overweight to C-section. I mean, we haven't really, correlation doesn't mean causation, but we're definitely seeing some sort of trends that may be linking some of these different things together in regards to the GI system. In addition, of course, the foods that we eat, Susan, maybe we'll talk about that in the next segment, but the refined high sugar, high carbohydrate, standard American type diet is definitely going to foster a bacterial flora that is not ideal. So you take a situation where you get maybe a C-section birth, which is actually pretty common. You maybe get some early introduction of antibiotics because of an ear infection. You get a poor diet going with lots of refined carbohydrates and sugars. And you get sort of this, all of these different factors stacking up to make it so we don't have a great GI system. So it may not just be one of them. It's sort of a combination of them all, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's a great segue into really understanding and identifying what all these factors are and how are they impacting our epigenetics.
Exactly. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, where I want to go with this is let's talk about some of the diet and lifestyle. You talked about cultured foods, but there are other things that we can do when it comes to diet and nutrition that seem to really support a good, healthy microflora in the gut. And then, of course, I really want to use your expertise to discuss actual probiotic supplementation. Most people do take probiotics. They're one of the most popular supplements in the natural health industry. Most people have one in their counter or in their medicine cabinet, or have been told to take one even by their regular doctor. I think you have some great expertise in this field and can really help guide our listeners in understanding why they may need to take a probiotic, under what circumstances, and what to look for when they're thinking about purchasing a probiotic to optimize their health. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, and we're going to be back right after these words.
Megafood Premium Whole Food Supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet. Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Zymogen is pleased to announce the arrival of Fit Food, a delicious, high-quality, functional food that's formulated to support weight management, healthy body composition, glycemic management, cardiovascular and immune health, and more. Each delicious serving of Fit Food contains 21 grams of pure New Zealand-sourced bioactive whey protein, 6 grams of fiber immune-supporting oat beta-glucan, and additional glutamine, glycine, taurine, and MCTs. Fit Food provides holistic support for today's active body. Learn more at Zymogen.com. Available now through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
All over the world, people are beginning to discover fish oil is one of the best secrets for unlocking great health. Thousands of studies have shown the amazing effects of these powerful omega-3s for heart health. Plus, fish oils have even been shown to balance moods and lessen anxiety. With exceptional taste, unrivaled freshness, and unsurpassed purity, Nordic Naturals is the easy way to get your omega-3s every day. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals, committed to the planet. committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
The brain requires nutrition just like the rest of the body, and this is where Gero Formula's Neuro Optimizer comes to the rescue. Neuro Optimizer is a concentrated source of nutrients needed for memory, mood, concentration, and focus. Neuro Optimizer supplies the building blocks for neurotransmitters, the chemicals that allow cells in the brain to communicate and to file away memories. Neuro Optimizer is the nutritional answer to the brain's needs. To learn more about formulas, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
If you have arthritis, everyday tasks can become a challenge. That's why more and more doctors are recommending Arthrobin, an all-natural medical food for the dietary management of osteoarthritis. It contains a combination of bioflavonoids, which work to reduce inflammation and joint deterioration, along with collagen peptides, which increase joint mobility, function, and repair. Arthrobin is not a drug and is virtually free of negative side effects. Look for Arthrobin by Designs for Health today, available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I'm your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for tuning in. Today, we're having a great discussion about probiotics and about the microbiome in the GI system. I'm lucky to have on the phone with me today as my special guest, Dr. Susan Mittmesser. She completed her PhD in nutritional biochemistry from the University of Nebraska and holds a master's degree from the University of Nebraska Medical Center. She's been in the industry for a very long time. Some of her other impressive things on her resume have to do with being an adjunct professor at the Department of Family Medicine at Stony Brook University and being on the editorial board of four peer-reviewed journals, including the Advanced Journal of Food Science and Technology, the Journal of Pediatric Intensive Care, World Journal of Clinical Pediatrics, and Journal of International Society of Sports Nutrition. So, Dr. Mittmesser, thank you for being on the show with us today.
My pleasure.
We've sort of touched a little bit on the importance of the microbiome and these gut bacteria that we've talked about in this segment. I'd love to lead off with, you know, if there's anything that we haven't covered in relation to emerging science and research regarding the importance of the microbiome and the gut flora beyond just digestive health. I'd love for you to cover that. And then certainly let's talk about some food and nutrition choices that maybe we can discuss to support GI health. And then let's launch into the aspect of what probiotics do I want to supplement with if I'm going to use probiotics as a means to support my health.
All right. So why don't we start off with benefits beyond the gut?
Excellent.
That's a good place to start. So we talked a little bit about the immune system and how the gut associated lymph system infers that there's a relationship between the healthy gut and the immune system. But we also have found that the gut microbiome helps with digestion. So it helps us break down foods, and it actually, there's some data now showing that it helps absorb certain nutrients. So some of this is done, as an example, with carbohydrates broken down to short-chain fatty acids. So there's data showing that certain strains of probiotics help with this. There's also, you know, people are lactose intolerant, and so there are certain strains of probiotic that actually help break down lactose to lactase, and so it helps for those that are have an inability to break down those specific foods. And beyond that, we're also looking at some links between the brain. So the brain and the gut are linked via the nervous system, and there's some emerging data that's showing that there's a reduction in hypersensitivity and stress response with specific strains of probiotics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is pretty interesting. And I think there's been some studies talking about, again, early antibiotic administration in newborns and higher rates of anxiety as they get older. Again, I mean, we're not talking here, correlation doesn't mean causation, but it is interesting to see some of those trends. I think Dr. David Perlmutter, who we've had on the show and we're going to have on in a couple of weeks, just wrote a book called The Brain Maker, which I think pretty much focuses primarily, and he's a neurologist who spent a lot of time bringing information and research to the forefront regarding more holistic therapies for addressing neurological conditions. The book is pretty much about the gut biome and GI and microflora diversity and basically brain health. So that's another interesting topic. And I know he's done a lot of great research that's contained within that book. And, you know, you talk about the immune system. Dr. McMesser, I mean, the immune system, we think about just fighting off colds and flus, but one big thing that, you know, we should probably touch on is the immune system has everything to do with regulating inflammation in the body. And inflammation, as we know, is a big part of many other health conditions. So there may be some tie-in, and I'm sure research over time will sort of, you know, sort of help to parse this out, how the health of the gut and the health of what's going on in the GI system affecting the immune system may relate to inflammatory issues that are correlated to heart disease and even certain types of cancer. So I think it really is important to look at that and this issue way beyond just digestive function.
Yeah, I always challenge people to think of a health condition that doesn't involve inflammation, because inflammation is sometimes the genesis for a lot of health symptoms and health conditions. And to your point about the immune system, you know, one of the ways probiotics help with the immune system is in the enhancement of the barrier function and mucin production within the intestinal cells. And you can almost think of mucins like mucus. So when you look in the GI tract, it's very moist. There's a lot of these mucins in there, and that those mucins actually help with breaking down the nutrients, absorbing the nutrients, actually blocking some pathogens, blocking the adherence site, and then helping with motility too. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on in the gut, and I always like to say, you know, a very moist, wet gut is good.
Yeah.
So we like to keep those mucins producing at a rapid rate.
So let's talk about foods. You talked about cultured foods, which are a great idea. You mentioned kimchi, sauerkraut. You know, I mean, kefirs are great options. Yogurts can be good options if people aren't dairy sensitive, and the yogurt is fresh enough that there's still live cultures. But I think, you know, you don't have to be making these kitchen experiments in order to eat a diet that basically supports GI health. What else do we know as far as foods and dietary factors that relate to sort of really supporting this, you know, what seems to be the most important aspect is this microflora biodiversity, having lots of different of the right kind of bugs in your GI system?
Right. So we are finding that there's a link to an increase, a high level of diversity, microbiota diversity, is equated to improvement in health and health outcomes. So just think, lots of different bugs are good. When you only have a few different bugs, that's not so good. And so how do we get a increase in our diversity of the bugs in our gut? And one of the ways that have been linked is to increase your plant foods. So plant foods being, you know, whole grains and fruits and vegetables, things like that. And all of those, when you look at them, what are some of the things in common among those foods? And it's a lot of times it's the fiber content. And you can't underestimate the amount of fiber that it will have on the benefit of the gut, because some of these fibers are specifically prebiotic fibers. And those are, don't confuse that with a probiotic, but you can see a lot of these prebiotic fibers we're finding that they are kind of the food for the probiotic. So the beneficial bacteria in your gut are feeding off of these prebiotic fibers. So they're increasing the good bacteria and causing some good things to happen in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
So having high fiber diet, plant-based diet are some of the real integral parts that we're seeing that improve the diversity of the gut microbiota.
Yeah, and I think what people need to understand is I think a plant-based diet doesn't necessarily mean that people have to be 100% vegetarian. I think that people hear plant-based diet and some people realize that that would be a very tough, they're not interested in being a vegetarian. You can have a primarily plant-based diet and then I say augmented with select good quality, you know, proteins, animal proteins. It could be eggs, it could be fish, it could be, you know, pastured meats. It just is a very different approach to looking at what's on your dinner plate than a traditional, you know, restaurant meal for an American. Like, people think plant-based diet, you know, I mean, you go to a steakhouse and you get this giant, you know, 14-ounce steak with a little bit of broccoli on the side. You think about a more plant-based diet, it might be having a really large stir fry with a variety of different vegetables and lots of different forms of plant-based foods with a small amount of some animal protein added in there. You can get the benefits of gut biodiversity if you do that. It's just a question of shifting the focus a little bit. So some food for thought for people.
Yeah, I think that's so true, so true. I'm not advocating vegetarian diet over a non-vegetarian diet by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, in my intro, you mentioned that I lived in Nebraska for quite some years, and that's a huge, huge beef country. And, you know, it's all about, think of your gut microbiota being a reflection of the diversity of the foods that you eat. So it's just a matter of maintaining a balanced diet and controlling portion size with regard to some of those animal products.
Yeah.
So you can still have a steak, but you want to make sure, to your point, that you have lots of nice greens around your plate and you are having a mixture of your fruits and vegetables in addition to that animal base too.
And I believe, I mean, you can sort of correct me, Susan, because I'm not 100% as up on the research as you are, but I imagine that there's probably some correlations between eating a lot of simple carbohydrates and a lot of sugars. I mean, does that seem to be a dietary, indiscretion that seems to be associated with a decrease in the beneficial flora in the gut if people are eating a lot of, you know, refined carbohydrates and sugars and processed foods?
Yeah, so remember back to our plant-based conversation. One of the reasons these plant-based foods we're finding are beneficial is because of the fiber content. And when you have all this processing, the fiber content is significantly decreased. So then you're just left with these very simple carbohydrates that the gut microbiota really has not a lot of benefit for, and so they're not able to, the probiotics within your gut are not able to utilize them. And so, yes, there is. We are finding that there's an influence, I'll say, from simple carbohydrates and the impact that has on the lack of diversity within the gut microbiota.
Mm-hmm. So when we talk about food, I mean, those are some basic concepts, and I think there's a lot of good information coming out where people can learn more about what they can do from a dietary standpoint. But probiotics and probiotic supplements do play an important role in supporting the biodiversity and the microbiome. So, you know, we don't have a ton of time left in the segment, but I'd love to just have you sort of intro the idea of using probiotics as a supplement in the role in supporting gut health and what we know about that and what sort of the benefits are and what the limitations are.
Right. So I think depending on your lifestyle and if you feel like you do not have a diet high in plant-based and maybe you've been on a bout of antibiotics, you don't eat a lot of fermented foods, then I think you definitely need to consider a probiotic dietary supplement. But one of the things we need to consider is that they're not all created equal. And so we need to start understanding, we as a scientific community, as well as translational science, translating that to the consumer, that they're not all created equal and that the strain, not just the species of the probiotic, actually matters. And so we need to start investigating at the strain level and linking the strain to a specific clinical benefit to really understand what's going on in the gut with these different bugs that we are putting out on the market.
Yeah, because, I mean, you've got a class, so like Lactobacillus is it's a species, but there's so many different subtypes and strains, right? I mean, what are there, thousands? I mean, how many different strains of like Lactobacillus acidophilus are there?
Yeah, there are thousands.
Yeah, thousands.
Really,
and so,
really.
You know, I mean, these are little teeny variations, genetic variations from one bacteria to the next. And while we might see large amounts of Lactobacillus acidophilus in the gut, it doesn't necessarily mean that every last strain of Lactobacillus acidophilus is going to be beneficial for human health. And that's, go ahead.
Great point. And I would like to see us get to the point where we are considering probiotics like antibiotics. So, you know, you as a practicing clinician, you know that amoxicillin is given for streptococcus and erythromycin is given for an ear infection. So it's very specific, right? We know that there's evidence that shows that that specific antibiotic helps relieve that infection. Well, probiotics are the same. As an example, there's an LKCI BC80R that is effective against antibiotic-associated diarrhea in adults. And then there's another strain that's effective against atopic dermatitis in children. So we need to start thinking about our probiotics like we do our antibiotics. And I think maybe it starts with the clinician, you know, because they're the ones that are actually, they're prescribing an antibiotic, of course, but they also need to understand and perhaps even recommend a probiotic that's been clinically studied.
Yeah, absolutely. We need more data as this exciting field emerges. So when we come back, let's kind of talk a little bit about, you know, more the nuts and bolts of a probiotic supplement. Exactly how do they work, and what do we look for when we're looking for different strains, and what are some of the exciting research telling us? So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, and we're going to be back right after these words. Don't go anywhere.
Solgar No. 7 can help you feel the difference. Solgar No. 7 actually shows improvement in joint comfort within 7 days. Now you can start to get back on track fast and pursue the activities you love. Solgar No. 7 is a breakthrough in joint care with no glucosamine and no chondroitin. The advanced bioactives in Solgar No. 7 help to increase flexibility, mobility, and range of motion within 7 days. One capsule once a day is all you need. When stiff joints occasionally say no, Solgar No. 7 says yes. Solgar No. 7, available at Village Green Apothecary.
New from Garden of Life, Kind Organics Whole Food Multivitamins. They are the only USDA certified organic, non-GMO verified whole food multivitamins available. They're gluten-free, certified vegan, and feature a patent-pending clean tablet technology. Kind Organics is super clean, untreated, unadulterated, and real whole food. Kind Organics Multivitamins from Garden of Life. Be kind to your body and the earth. Kind Organics, now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Do you have unique needs that a mass market pharmacy can't handle? Village Green Apothecary can help. Maybe your doctor prescribed a special compounded formula for you, or you have concerns about allergies or dietary supplements. We invite you to talk with one of our compounding specialists today. Our team includes pharmacists, nutritionists, clinical herbalists, and naturopaths offering customized products and personalized healthy living plans to ensure your well-being. Visit Village Green in Bethesda at 5415 West Cedar Lane. Call us at 301-530-0800 or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Staying mentally sharp means nourishing the mind as well as the body. That's why there's new Cognisure from Metagenics. Research shows that the active natural ingredient in Cognisure supports multiple mechanisms necessary for maintaining healthy cognition and a healthy brain as it ages. Cognisure is also easy to take in delicious, chewable chocolate tablets. Have a clear and bright future by maintaining mental capacity with healthy habits and Cognisure. Remember Cognisure for healthy brain aging support. Available through your healthcare professional and Village Green Apothecary.
Have you ever wondered why the cold and flu season occurs in the fall and winter months? One theory is because of a decrease in sun exposure, our bodies don't make enough vitamin D, which is essential to proper immune function. That's why medical experts recommend supplementing with vitamin D. Thorne Research's vitamin D products are made from pure vitamin D, with no preservatives or unnecessary ingredients added. Support your immune system with Thorne's vitamin D1000 and D5000. These and other immune-supporting formulas are always available at Village Green.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host for today, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for tuning in. We're here every Sunday from 10 to 11 a.m. If you'd like, you can stream our show on Sundays via the web if you're not able to tune in directly, or you have somebody who's out of state who's not within our listening area. They can do that by going to www.federalnewsradio.com, and that's at 10 a.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. You can also download any of our previously recorded shows a couple ways. One way is to go right to iTunes and just type in The Essentials of Healthy Living, and it'll show up as a podcast. You can download and listen to them for absolutely free. In addition, you can go to the Village Green website at www.myvillagegreen.com, and on the right-hand side of the homepage, there's a microphone icon. If you click on that icon, it will take you to the archive show section where you can download all of our previously recorded shows for absolutely free. It's really a great resource. We've had a ton of amazing special guests. Today is no exception. We've been talking with Susan Mittmesser about probiotics and gut biodiversity. Dr. Mittmesser has her PhD in nutritional biochemistry, as well as a master's degree from the University of Nebraska Medical Center. She's been working in the nutrition industry for a very long time and brings a huge degree of expertise to this conversation. So we're talking about gut health and probiotics. You know, now we're specifically talking about, Dr. Mittmesser, the therapeutic use of a probiotic supplement for specific health issues. So why don't we just continue to expand on that topic in regards to, you know, what are the most useful clinical applications for the use of probiotics? Like, what kind of conditions should people consider using probiotic therapy to help? And then we'll talk about specific strains and specific kinds, and, you know, we'll sort of get into the nuts and bolts here.
Great. So the scientific community is working to better understand the role of the microbiome and how that plays into overall health and wellness, and how probiotics specifically can contribute to that. For instance, it's becoming apparent there are many beneficial roles of the microbiome, both in the gut and in the periphery systems throughout the body, and we've mentioned a few. I'm going to highlight five. So one being that probiotics can work to keep less friendly bacteria from taking over our gut. So it can actually block pathogenic bacteria by reducing the binding sites. I think I mentioned that. But it also, there are certain probiotics that can produce inhibitory toxins that can lower the pH in the gut, and then that lower pH actually is intolerant for pathogens to grow, so it inhibits the further growth of pathogens. So that's one way. Another way is that they aid in the digestion of foods and the absorption of nutrients. As I mentioned, you know, fibers are very beneficial, and these fibers can be broken down into short-chain fatty acids and further utilized within the body. There's also been evidence that certain probiotics help with the degradation of dietary oxalate. Now, oxalate is one of those compounds that it's the basis for urinary stones. And so there's a probiotic, believe it or not, that has been shown to break down oxalate, which is naturally occurring in certain foods, nuts to be specific. So it actually breaks down the oxalate, so you have less risk of developing these urinary stones, just as an example.
So has the research shown, I mean, that's a good question, because a lot of people have kidney stones, and let's face it, I mean, they're miserable. You'll talk to,
yeah.
I mean, I'm a man, so I know nothing about childbirth, but I've spoken to women who say that passing a kidney stone was worse than delivering their babies, you know? So, I mean, it is a really, really tough condition to deal with. Are the studies showing that, have we gotten to the point where it just shows that it helps to break down oxalates, or does it actually show that it reduces the risk of kidney stone formation? Because those are two different things.
They are. This is emerging data, and it's the former, unfortunately. So we're showing evidence in cell cultures as well as animal models. So this hasn't actually been performed in humans yet, but I think it shows great progress
to
where we've gone. And, you know, if it can perform this in an animal model, the next step, obviously, is to put this into humans and see for those at risk of developing kidney stones, which there are certain people that are more at risk.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe this would be the next step in the clinical trial.
Yeah, and some of the people that are most at risk are people that suffer from, you know, significant GI problems like inflammatory bowel disease. We know that there's increased risk of kidney stones. So, I mean,
yeah.
And that is a condition where certainly probiotic therapy has been studied, and some strains and some types of probiotics have had some good human clinical trials to show that they can help extend remission times of inflammatory bowel disease flares. So that's one thing. Let's talk about some other conditions a little bit. Things like irritable bowel syndrome, C. difficile infection. Can we talk about C. diff for a minute? C. difficile, it's a pretty big deal because it is the number one hospital-acquired infection in the United States. And probiotics seem to be able to possibly play a role in helping to reduce the risk of acquiring and sometimes recovering from C. diff.
Right. So, yeah, there is some nice data. In fact, I think that may be the stimuli for the fecal transplants, actually, because C. diff is a pathogenic bacteria that is innate in our gut. But what happens is that the friendly bacteria become suppressed for whatever reason, you know, stress in our life, a lack of a plant-based diet, antibiotic use. For whatever reason, the beneficial bacteria become really low, and the pathogenic, C. diff being one of those, becomes really high, and it's a very, very aggressive bacteria.
And I mean, let's face it, the majority of C. diff cases occur usually in a hospital, just after leaving a hospital, or in nursing home settings, and usually it's preceded by antibiotic use. I mean, that's very, very common, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's not usually acquired unless there's antibiotic use. And so that's sort of the final straw that upsets the balance enough where the C. diff becomes highly active. And in hospitals, as we know, certain bacteria can become incredibly pervasive. Things like the MRSA, the methicillin-resistant staph aureus, and other infections that persist in hospitals, they just tend to sort of set up and you get a lot of transmission. And C. diff happens to be one of those. So what do we know about, are there any specific types of probiotics that are worth considering when using an antibiotic therapy to maybe help offset some of the negative effects, whether or not, you know, you're at risk for getting C. diff or you just want to keep your gut healthy? Do we want to talk about any specific types of probiotics for that?
There's still some emerging evidence on certain strains of probiotics. But there are the LKCI species. There are specific strains within that species that have been linked to antibiotic-associated prevalence of certain bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this being an example. So, yeah, there are specific strains. There's still a lot of investigation going on in this
yep.
area, and you can't underestimate the aggressiveness of C. difficile. So unfortunately, it's a smart bug in that you may find something that works, but then eventually it doesn't. And so
yeah.
that's where these fecal transplants have actually been quite helpful.
Yeah, quite amazing, actually, the research on those, you know, where a lot of times to treat C. difficile, it can take multiple antibiotics administered at the same time, very, very aggressive antibiotic therapy, and there's a high rate of relapse. And it can take a while for somebody to recover, even with the most aggressive antibiotic therapy. And what they're finding is that with some of these fecal transplants, which seems totally gross, but basically they can get, they're almost getting almost complete resolution of the condition within 48 hours of a fecal transplant without needing retreatment. And it's no antibiotic therapy. So it's really, really pretty interesting stuff. So let's get back to probiotics. We talked about irritable bowel syndrome. Certainly something that I think people would want to think about when it comes to probiotic usage, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, in the U.S., 1 in 5 people experience gas and bloating, and sometimes that's associated with a diagnosis of irritable bowel, and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
And over 50% of those people who report the gas and bloating and discomfort, they also report a reduction in their activities of their daily lives, which is really unfortunate that something,
yeah.
you know, as what we think as simple as gas and bloating can really be that debilitating and change your lifestyle.
Sure.
So there are some specific strains that have been studied for that. There's one called Lactobacillus plantarum 299V, and this specific strain is quite interesting in that for commercially available probiotics, there's not a plethora of data available.
Mm-hmm.
This strain is very unique in that sense. It's thoroughly investigated from a safety standpoint. It's been fully characterized and identified, and it has over 30 human published clinical trials, which have spanned over, I think, nearly 2 decades of research. So for the commercially available probiotics, this one has a great profile and has been shown to decrease the gas and bloating symptoms. Gastroenterologists have been heavily involved in the research behind this specific strain.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's where it's nice because, you know, it's a Lactobacillus species, and there's other Lactobacillus planetarium species, right? But this one we've narrow down to the actual strain. That's what it means when you see on the back of a bottle, it's LP299V. It's a Lactobacillus planetarium strain that's a very, very specific, correct? So you know you're
yes.
getting the same thing every time, whereas, you know, we might, and this happens commonly in the nutraceutical industry, there's maybe these huge abundance of research on Lactobacillus planetarium 299V, right? Somebody comes out with a probiotic supplement that contains Lactobacillus planetarium. They sort of latch onto the health claims associated with the studies done on this specific strain. Meanwhile, the Lactobacillus planetarium in their product is not that strain that was in the studies, correct?
Absolutely. Let me give you an analogy of that.
Thank you.
Where species and strains cannot, the research that follows that strain should not be implemented for another strain in that same species. So Let's talk about E. coli. So E. coli, people think, is very scary. The genus is the Escherichia. The species is coli. Well, there's a strain called 0157H7. That strain of E. coli is known to be pathogenic. That's the one that when you eat tainted ground beef, that's the one that gets you significantly ill and can even cause death. Now let's take the same genus, Escherichia. Let's take the same species, coli, but let's take a different strain. It's called Nessel-1917. This specific strain of E. coli has been shown to be beneficial. So my point being that if you don't take it down to the strain level, you can be extremely misguided as to what is beneficial for overall health benefit. It's so easy to cross paths with the pathogenic versus the beneficial bacteria.
That's right. And we don't know exactly everything about what we're doing with probiotic science yet. So I think, you know, I really try and encourage people to use specific strains. And I mean, I know in my private practice, I really try to only gravitate towards companies that are using probiotics that are strain specific. And there's good clinical research behind each and every strain. So, I mean, we talked about sort of the gas and bloating and IBS for the Lactobacillus planetarium 299V. But while we're talking about a type of strain that has some of the most amount of human clinical research regarding its benefits, I'm sure that there's other data and other human clinical trials that show it has benefits beyond just improving gas and bloating. So maybe you can expand on that a little bit.
Pardon me. Yes, there is some showing some immune markers. However, at this point, the primary investigation has actually been around IBS and some of the symptoms of IBS. There are some immune markers that have shown some evidence of this strain 299B actually modifying these immune markers, so it's actually having a difference in the immune system, mm-hmm. with inflammatory response, maybe changing some of the cytokines and so forth, or showing some antibody changes within the cascade of the immune system. However, that data is not definitive yet. So therefore, I would not recommend this for anything beyond gas and bloating as it's associated with some of the symptoms of IBS at this point.
Gotcha. So that's primarily where this research has been done on the strain.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When we come back from the break, maybe we can discuss some other possible strains. Is the LP299V strain a common strain to find in a probiotic product? I mean, just since we're talking about it and since it is one of the ones that is the most well-studied, is there a specific product or brand that really carries this specific one if people are looking to give it a try and really want to be strain-specific like we're encouraging?
Yeah. Solgar, which carries the 299V strain, has a strain, and it has it in a couple different doses because of the benefits shown at different doses. So Solgar is one of the brands that you want to know when it comes to very highly clinically studied brands, and so that's one of the benefits of ensuring the integrity of a product for sure. So Solgar would be a great recommendation.
Okay, great. I know that, you know, sometimes like certain companies will buy like sort of the patent on that strain and you can only get it through like certain companies, you know, so it's nice that to know that Solgar is a brand that very reputable and usually very affordable and very easily available for people. So that's a great option. When we come back from the break, Susan, let's sort of talk about any other specific strains that we want to discuss and their role in specific ways that they support their health. I think it's an important conversation, and hopefully people are getting the message that not all probiotics are created equal, and it's really important to do your homework and make sure that you're taking a probiotic supplement, if you choose to take one, that is very specific for the health goals you're trying to achieve. So this is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back right after these words.
Megafood premium whole food supplements are the only supplements crafted from scratch with farm-fresh whole foods to deliver nourishment the way nature intended. Megafood believes Mother Nature knows best. They select only fresh whole food, harvested at the peak of ripeness, handle it gently and with care to deliver its vital essence to you in every bottle. Megafood, from farm to tablet,
Our name is our promise. For more information, visit us online at megafood.com.
Bridging the gap between nutraceuticals and pharmaceuticals. That's the concept behind Zymogen's new exclusive and patented line of formulations, which utilize sophisticated delivery technologies to focus on specific molecular targets. The Zymogen EP line features Immunitix 3-6, a potent ingredient that has demonstrated a measurable ability to prime and enhance immune cell function. Applications include immune system support and support for white blood cell recovery following radiation therapy and other bone marrow affecting treatments. Now available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
For over 10 years, Nordic Naturals has been the world leader in crafting omega-3 fish oils that are great for the body and for the planet. They work one-on-one with researchers and select fishermen to harvest only those fish species that are flourishing. With Nordic Naturals, you get all the benefits of omega-3, a strong heart, clear eyes, and flexible joints, plus the reassurance that their products are environmentally friendly. To learn more, visit Village Green Apothecary or visit NordicNaturals.com. Nordic Naturals. Committed to the planet, committed to pure and great-tasting omega oils.
Did you get enough lutein today to support eye health? Most Americans consume only 2 milligrams per day, yet populations with good eye health often consume 6 to 20 milligrams to protect the macula of the eye against oxidative stress and aging. Vision Optimizer from Gero Formulas supplies lutein, zeaxanthin, and 13 other vitamins, phytonutrients, and herbs that support eye health and function, reduce eye fatigue, and promote eye comfort. For more information, visit Gero.com. Gero Formulas, available at Village Green Apothecary.
If you have arthritis, everyday tasks can become a challenge. That's why more and more doctors are recommending Arthrobin, an all-natural medical food for the dietary management of osteoarthritis. It contains a combination of bioflavonoids, which work to reduce inflammation and joint deterioration, along with collagen peptides, which increase joint mobility, function, and repair. Arthrobin is not a drug and is virtually free of negative side effects. Look for Arthrobin by Designs for Health today, available at Village Green Apothecary and online at myvillagegreen.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, brought to you by the Village Green Apothecary. I am your host, Dr. Kevin Passero. Thank you all for tuning in. We've been having a great discussion with my wonderful special guest, Dr. Susan Mittmesser. She is a PhD in nutritional research and biochemistry. So it's been a great show. We've been talking about probiotics. Dr. Mittmesser, let's talk about, we talked about strains in the last segment. When it comes to practicality as far as using a probiotic, there can be a lot of debate about probiotic production, and that some people will say, oh, you know, only look for probiotics that have to be refrigerated because only the refrigerated kinds are the good kind. And, you know, but there's some great probiotics on the market that don't need refrigeration. And then some people will say, you know, you have to get ones that are enteric coated that'll survive stomach acid. And other people say, no, you don't. And really, everything's correct. Some really good probiotics need refrigeration. Some really good probiotics don't. It really depends on the strain and the type. So I just like would like you to elaborate so people, we can dispel some misconceptions that people have in their attempt to try and buy a good product.
Yeah, great. I think this is totally confusing for the consumer, and I almost feel guilty because I want to make sure that we make it a bit more simple for the consumer. So this is where a reputable brand really comes into play, because you want to be able to trust the brand that how they recommend the usage, the dosage, and the storage of that probiotic is accurate. And what makes it accurate is the clinical evidence and how that bacteria or probiotic was studied in human clinical trials. So if indeed, to your point, not all probiotics are created equal. Some of them are manufactured in a way that they do not need refrigeration, but you may not know that unless it's on the label. So you really, really have to look for a reputable brand, and I think Solgar is one of those brands that is highly supported by science and very reputable.
Right. So that's a great point. So really, it's about researching your product, knowing the brand, using a good brand, and understanding. If you have questions, I mean, the Village Green is a great resource. We've got fantastic nutritional advisors and carry all of the top brand lines, including Solgar. People can answer your questions. And some of the best probiotic brands that I recommend, some of them are non-refrigerated, and other some I use are refrigerated. And what probiotic product I use really depends on the case and what it is we're trying to achieve clinically. So let's talk about another really important issue, Dr. McMesser, because I know you have a little specialty here in this topic. It's pediatrics. And we talked about sort of starting life off, establishing that microbiome can be really important. Everything from having a natural delivery, breastfeeding can help establish the right microflora in the gut. But we know that when we're babies and we're being born, it can be a difficult process and things can go wrong and can lead to necessity for cesarean sections. It can lead to the necessity for antibiotic administration. It can lead to some women not being having the ability to breastfeed. All the things that we rely upon in a natural state to improve gut microflora. Can we use probiotics in children? And if so, what do we need to be aware of? What are the best therapeutic uses? I think you're going to have a lot of really great things to talk about here. So I'll just let you go ahead and talk.
Thanks. So this is another area where it all depends on the strain and the safety data and the human clinical trials that support that strain. There are some strains that have been linked and heavily studied in specific pediatric populations, for example, your C-section example. In that example, there's one called LGG that has helped decrease symptoms of immune distress and so forth in very young infants that have gone through a C-section, to your point that they're born with this sterile gut environment. And so LGG has been shown to help eliminate some of those deficits. But it comes down to the strain, and I can't stress that enough, that the strain that is recommended for children should be studied in children at that specific range of age. So just an infant is much different than a child. Think about all the environmental changes that go on in an infant versus a child, complementary feeding, breast milk versus infant formula. There's so many different changes that you need to make sure that the clinical evidence for that probiotic is adequate to recommend it for a child or an infant for that matter. Another strain that has been clinically studied in children greater than age 4 has been the 299V, and the clinical endpoints that have been measured have been around healthy microflora balance and showing that there's a decrease in the pathogenic bacteria, increase in the beneficial bacteria. So again, really, really pay attention to the manufacturer and really pay attention at that strain level. Don't just think it's adequate to understand the species. You really need to have that strain on the label.
Sure. And while most people necessarily don't have the training to be able to go through and dive through the medical research to understand the strain, again, that comes back to working with reliable companies. A lot of the companies that are producing probiotics, if they're doing a good job and they're creating a good product, they will sort of discuss, even in some of their basic, public informational things that they put out on websites, they'll talk about the strain, they'll talk about how it's been studied, and they'll talk about the safety data when it comes to children. And that's like the Lactobacillus GG that you mentioned is one that has good safety data and some good clinical trials in working with kids. And basically, regular supplementation seems to, clinical studies show that it reduced the incidence of upper respiratory infections in children who were taking it. So again, some level of immune supportive therapy. And I think it's really important to understand that setting up the system as early as possible for optimal health is really, really valuable. So starting kids off with the right cues, and of course, that obviously would be hopefully a natural birth, breastfeeding, a good healthy diet, antibiotics used when only absolutely necessary. All of these things are the best way to do it, but sometimes you run into a situation where probiotics might be necessary. So Susan, we're almost out of time. Any last thoughts in wrapping up? It was really great to have you on. Your expertise, I think, was very valuable, and hopefully people learned a little bit more about probiotics today, even though we've discussed it before on the show.
Yeah, no, my last parting words would be try and think of increasing your diversity of your gut microbiota, because that in and of itself, I think, will lead to improved health.
Yeah, and I do tell people sometimes, find a couple really good probiotics, maybe a few strains that do have some clinical research, and vary them up. Maybe for 6 weeks, take one, and 6 weeks, take the other if you're somebody that you think needs daily probiotic supplementation, because biodiversity does seem to be the key. So, Dr. McMesser, thank you so much again for being on the show with us today. This is Dr. Kevin Passero with the Essentials of Healthy Living here on AM 1500, wishing you all the best of health until we talk next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Ah, the joy of commuting in Washington. Whether you work on the Hill or outside of the Beltway, you know how stressful it is to get around. Stress can take a serious toll on your health, and Village Green Apothecary can help. We offer over 10,000 healthy living products, including top-quality nutritional supplements, herbal remedies, and more. Our nutritionists and pharmacists are here to advise you about creating your very own individualized healthy living plan. Visit Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda, 5415 West Cedar Lane, or check out our website at myvillagegreen.com.
Okay, so 5 tacos of cheese and a large soda, that's $10,012. Please drive around.
$10,000 what?
It's obvious you're buzzed and driving.
I've only had a few. I'm fine.
Yeah, the food's $12, but getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Please drive around. Actually, just park and come in.
Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFMHD2 Manassas, WTLPFMHD2 Braddock Heights Frederick, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
AP Radio News. I'm Tim McGuire, 100th.